All right. It's good to be back. I've been gone for those who were not here before, you know, first time. I've been away from the pulpit for a little bit. So the joke is, you know, it's good to show up for work at least once a week. So here I am. Here I am clocking in. You guys know that's not true, right? There's so much that goes on behind the scenes. But we were blessed to have so much great preaching during the weeks that I was gone, right? We had Dr. Jeff McGirt, our overseer, our state overseer, that was with us a couple of Sundays ago. And then we had John Whitten that brought in a great word. And then last week for Mother's Day, Pastor Don gave us an amazing word on zooming out. How many of you have been using this word at home? I have. I've been reminded many times when I have the tendency to zoom in on something that is not going right, and I've been corrected a few times. You got to zoom out. So I'm zooming out this morning. I'm zooming out. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 12. Hallelujah. It's just a simple, very simple part, a simple verse as part of the Lord's Prayer. All right, I'll give you a little moment to turn to it. It's going to be out on the screen and you'll be able to see it there as well. And if you got your phone, we have a Bible app where you can download the Bible app and you can follow along with the message. Okay, so it's a pretty cool little thing that we have, and you're able to follow along with the message and even take notes. Amen. So if I see you take your phone out, I won't be thinking like Amanda's texting right now because she's on her phone taking notes. So we are a very phone-friendly church. Amen. How many of you get a little kind of embarrassed if you take your phone out and like, you know, you're doing this number? But, you know, not here. You're fine if you take your phone out and you start taking notes. Or read your Bible now that you can do it on your phone. So Matthew 6 verse 12 says, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." These are red letter in your Bible, okay? And these are the words of Jesus. Jesus here is teaching us how to pray. And here Jesus is teaching us how to forgive, the importance of forgiving. He says, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." Forgiveness is so important as part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus put the emphasis on it again in verses 14 and 15. Just in case we forget the importance of forgiveness, Jesus, after the Lord's Prayer, wants to remind us about the importance of forgiveness. And he said in verse 14 and 15, he says, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you." Amen? If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a good reminder, right? About the importance of forgiveness. Some of you might say, "You know what, Pastor, I don't struggle with that. I'm very good with forgiving people." Well, yeah. That might be good for some of you, but a lot of us, that's an area of struggle that we have. Just a little test. If somebody has hurt you before, how do you feel if the name of that person is mentioned in a conversation? Do you kind of cringe a little bit? Or if you walk into a room and you see that person there, how do you feel? That's a good indicator That's a good test to see if you truly have forgiven the person, have released that person. That is part of forgiveness, is when you forgive and then you actually release the person. So this morning I want to chat with you a little bit about forgiveness. How many of you are watching the Chosen series? A few of us are watching the Chosen series. We just got the very first season and we completed the first season last week. Season one on episode number 8, I believe, is the last episode. It ends with a conversation between Shmuel and Nicodemus. And you can tell just by listening and watching that Shmuel is a student of Nicodemus. And it ends that last part, that last episode, with a conversation between them two on the subject of forgiveness. They were talking about how could Jesus forgive. And they struggle with that, especially Shmuel. Isn't that crazy? I was trying to say that word a few times over. I hope I didn't spoil it for anyone who has not watched it yet. It's just a conversation. If I did, would you please forgive me? See, I put that into it right now. I believe forgiveness is a skill that we are not, that does not come naturally. It is not a skill that we are naturally born with. We are not naturally born with the ability, with the skill to forgive. Now, I need you to remember that statement. Because in the end, I'm going to circle back to it. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Forgiveness is a skill that we must learn. It's a skill that we must learn and acquire. For you parents out there, I am certain that you had to teach. Little Johnny had to say, I'm sorry. You had to teach little Johnny how to say, I forgive you. Or would you please forgive me? It did not come naturally to little Johnny. Little Johnny was not born with the ability to say to little Susie, would you please forgive me for pulling your hair? I had a little unchecked emotion in my heart when you stole my little Hot Wheel. That little unchecked emotion is called anger. Little Johnny cannot tell the difference between if he peed or pooped in his pants. Little Johnny doesn't know how to forgive. Doesn't even know how to control that emotion that he felt. I didn't ask Isaiah this permission to say this story, but he's giving me a little nod back there that it is good that I share this. Our Isaiah struggled in that area. And Dawn, who's never, hasn't heard that part yet, she's also giving me a little look there. What is he going to say? He had a little struggle in that area of forgiveness. He would bite kids when he was little. Mostly girls. Don't know why, but mostly girls. Come to really think about it, my mom told me the same thing about me. I struggle with that same problem, biting people. But yeah, I'm not going to go much into it. I'll leave that for another sermon. But what I'm saying here is that Isaiah struggled in that area. One day, we were at air show in Anchorage, and a mom, whom we knew at church, came running to me and said, look at what he did. There was big old bite marks on that little girl's arm. So I took Isaiah to the bathroom and pow, taught him how to handle this emotion. And then taught him how to go and ask for forgiveness for what he did. Took him a little while, but we got there. 10 years later, we're still struggling with that area. We still have a little problem with Isaiah. Maybe not so much in the forgiving part, but the biting. I'm just kidding. He's doing a lot better in both areas. I believe forgiveness is not taught enough in our churches. It's not taught enough in our homes. And it's not taught enough even in our nation. The stats are quite alarming when you consider how many churches are split because of unforgiveness. How many homes are broken because of unforgiveness. And if you would just turn on the news just for a little bit tonight. Just for a little bit. Don't get sucked in this. Because you might develop another area that we need proper counseling to free you from. But if you turn your TV just for a little bit this evening, you will find out there's a common element, a common problem of unforgiveness. People don't know how to forgive things that have happened in history thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, that we're still dealing with now. So, the whole world would be a better place if we would all learn to say those 7 magical words. I was wrong. I was wrong. Would you forgive me? Let's do this right now. Let's practice this. Husband and wife, boys and girls, men and women. I was wrong. Would you forgive me? Ooh, that's it. We can pack up and go home. This is it. This is really it. If we practice this enough and apply this into our life, we would be in a better place. As a church, as a family, and as a nation. Isn't that amazing? How freeing this could be even now. Even now as I'm saying this, I feel free. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? Or would you forgive me? As a matter of fact, Jesus spent quite a big part of his ministry here on earth teaching us about forgiveness. He spent a big part of his ministry teaching you and me. Teaching his disciples about forgiveness. But it seems like even Jesus was having a tough time teaching his disciple this skill. Listen to this conversation now between Matthew in chapter 18, between Jesus and Peter. Matthew 18, verse 21. It says, then Peter came to him, and him is Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? That's a good question. How often, how many times should I forgive my brother who's sinned against me, who's done something to hurt me, to harm me? How many times? And he responded himself, up to 7 times. This is Peter asking, is it up to 7 times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Up to 70 times 7. First of all, why did Peter quote the number 7? Have you ever thought about this? Why did he use the number 7? Why not the number 3? Why not the number 4? Why not 10 times? Why 7? Well, let me tell you why. Brownie points. He wanted to score some brownie points with Jesus. The Jewish rabbi used this old Jewish tradition from the book of Amos chapter 1, where it says that a man should forgive someone only 3 times. Only 3 times was necessary. That became a Jewish tradition. So if somebody did something wrong against you, number 1, number 2, number 3, that's it. You've forgiven them 3 times, and then the 4th time, you're done. So Peter was trying to be smart right now. He was trying to be cool with Jesus. So he's saying, you know what? Maybe 7 will do it. Why don't I just double the number and add 1? I'll score some brownie points just for that. But Jesus responded to him in such a way that he blew that Jewish tradition completely. And Jesus said, forgive 7 times 70. Now, if you struggle with math, I got you. I got you. Right there. This is how many times that Jesus is saying that you need to forgive someone. But then, if you read that same thing in the book of Luke, and in many other translations, you'll find out that it's referring to 7 times 70 in one day. I mean, I don't care. Don and I, have we ever had to forgive one another 490 times in one day? Yeah or no? That's a whole lot of times, right? I mean, I don't know if you're the worst kind of person on this planet, but to go and ask somebody to forgive you in one day 490 times, I don't even know if this is possible. What Jesus is saying here is, don't put a cap on forgiveness. Don't put a limit on forgiveness. Don't put a number on forgiveness. Now you would think, because this conversation is happening between Jesus and Peter, but all the other disciples are actually listening in, because that was the topic of the day, forgiveness. Because if you read chapter 18 all the way from the beginning of chapter 18, the whole text is talking about a sin of a brother and how to restore a brother. So it was appropriate for Peter right at this moment to ask this question. How many times should I forgive a person who's hurt me? Who's done something that will hurt me and my family? How many times should I do this? And he went back to the Jewish tradition that he was raised under, and all the other disciples, they were familiar with Amos chapter 1. So he went back to this and said, hey, is it really 3 times? And then after the fourth time, I'm free? But then he went up with the number 7. And Jesus said, no. Actually, there's no limit on forgiveness. Don't ever put a cap on forgiveness. You would think that everybody else that were listening in would actually understand. This is what Jesus is saying. But they didn't. So right there and then, Jesus used a parable to illustrate his point. A parable is sometimes used in the Bible to illustrate a point. A parable from the Greek word, where you get the same word parallel, is a story that he would throw alongside or in parallel to a truth. So right there, Jesus is using a parable in a form of a story to illustrate his point about forgiveness. The parable of the unforgiving servant. So in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, I'm going to read and you can follow along. He says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that a payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of old servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But now listen to this. That same servant went out and found his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So the fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me. I will pay you all.' And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. And they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt because you beg me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him." Now, here's a summary of this parable, perhaps in a modern day perspective. FYI, God loves math, okay? I don't know if you know this, but God is in numbers. He loves math. So if you struggle with math, I got you. You struggle with math, I got you, right there. All you have to do is just follow along there, and I'm going to tell you what this parable is really illustrating. The servant owed 10,000 talents. One talent is a measure of silver, and it's usually around 33 kilos in weight. 1 kilo of silver at today's price is $820. That's a lot of money, right? $820 for 1 kilo of silver. So if one talent is 33 kilos, so how much would that be? 27,000, right? For only one talent. But how many talents are we talking about that was owed? 10,000, that's correct. 10,000 talent. Can somebody tell me how much that is? $270,600,000. Is that a lot of money? I mean, that's a whole lot of dough, a whole lot of money. I personally don't know anyone who can actually pay off that debt in a lifetime, right? If you can, please let me know. Now, according to Jewish law, a person who cannot pay off the debt will have to sell everything, every possession that they have, including their wife and the kids. They had to be sold as slaves, and the money was given back as payment back for the debt that was owed. But here in this parable, we find the master merciful and release that servant from that debt. But that same servant was unwilling to forgive his fellow brother who owed him 100 denarii. Again, if you struggle with math, I got you. I got you right there. 100 denarii, one denarius, denarius plural, one denarius is 0.1 ounce of silver. 0.1 ounce of silver. Today's price, 1 ounce of silver is $20. So with $20 today, you can buy 1 ounce of silver. So how many did that other servant owe? 100, right? 100 denarii. $2. The other servant owed him only $2. Can we pause here for a minute? Seriously? Can you imagine refusing to forgive someone for $2? The price of a cup of coffee. Now we put that in perspective, make you think a little bit. You refusing to forgive someone over a cup of coffee when you've been forgiven $270 million. That gives us a picture of the reality of what Jesus was trying to explain in this parable. Here's what Jesus was saying. Don't put a price on forgiveness. Don't put a price on forgiveness. Actually, there is a price for forgiveness. But you and I, we don't get to set that price. Jesus did. It's not a price that you and I, we can negotiate and say, you know what, okay, we'll work a deal out. You owe me $10. Let's make an agreement. Over $5, I forgive you. No, we don't get to set that price. That price was set by Jesus himself. That price is the blood of Jesus. That price of forgiveness is the blood of Jesus. And every time we set a price on forgiveness, we devalue the blood of Jesus. Every time we try to negotiate forgiveness with someone, if you do this for me, I'll forgive you. If you don't do this, I won't forgive you. Anytime when we try to negotiate forgiveness, we try to bargain or set a price on forgiveness, we devalue the blood of Jesus. Somebody better write this down. Because we've been doing this as a common practice, even within the church. Where we try to bargain, where we try to negotiate with people on where do we draw the line. Forgiveness is for you, not for the other person. Forgiveness is for you. God died on the cross to forgive you. That was your forgiveness. That was the price that was paid for your forgiveness, the blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus did not just teach us about forgiveness. He demonstrated forgiveness. When he found that woman that was caught in the middle of adultery and chose to forgive her. He chose to forgive her, and he demonstrated his love for humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave. To forgive, you got to give. And you got to give first. But Jesus beat you to it. He gave first. He gave first. He shed his blood first so that today you yourself can be forgiven. Every time you set a price on forgiveness, you become that wicked servant. That's a big ouch right there. Especially when we read that story in the light of what we know now. Anytime when you try to negotiate and set a price on forgiveness, you become that wicked servant that has quickly forgotten how much you were forgiven for what you did. How much you've fallen short yourself. It puts the microscope on you when you start looking in and say, hey, I've come from a rough place myself, and I've been forgiven much. How can I negotiate forgiveness when it comes to my brothers and my sisters? Forgive. Forgive. That's your freedom. That's your freedom to walk away. Never mind what the other person might be dealing with. You forgive so that you can release yourself from that bondage that the enemy has tied you with for years. When you forgive, you are released from this. You can be free to perform, to do what God has called you to do. So don't hold back forgiveness. Freely you were forgiven. Freely you must forgive. I'm pushing really fast on this message. I don't know what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. But I believe this is a word for all of us. All we have to do, just look around us. Look even in our nation. We are struggling with past stuff that our children has no understanding of what went on 100 some years ago. I don't want to turn this into a political thing, but this racial tension that we are seeing in our nation, the root of all of that is unforgiveness. The root of what we are watching now in the news concerning Israel and all that Middle East has to do with unforgiveness. The problem about what we're seeing in our homes today, broken homes, broken lives, has to do with unforgiveness. We just have not got it. Even in the church. We've allowed the enemy to come in and create division within the church body. Offense has crept in and has taken roots inside of the body of Christ. It's time when we stand up and we rebuke that Jezebel spirit that comes in to overtake and take control of everything that we do as a body of believers. There's authority that you and I, we've been given, that we need to operate within and drive out the enemy from our church, from our home, and from our nation. Amen. And it starts with prayer. Amen. It starts with the word of God. It starts with the truth that we apply ourselves in our own lives. Amen. That's what the Spirit of the living God wants to do in this time, in this season. It's time we rise up. We grow up. As brothers and sisters, we can keep each other accountable and grow in this area. Forgive. Forgive and move on. Forgive and move on. The price that Jesus paid is too high for us to take this casually. We must forgive so that we can live freely to serve a living God. To serve God. I want to go back to my original scripture. Could you guys put that back? I'm going to start over again. I'm going to preach the whole message again. Because, you know, I don't think we really get it. I mean, I had to go over this thing about forgiveness over and over and over again in my own personal life. I did not realize that I did have a problem with unforgiveness in my life until a few years ago. I did not know this. Until I'm sitting down in the basement of my house and I'm preparing a message, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brought somebody to my mind. A family member to my mind that I've been harboring unforgiveness for years. You know when you've dealt with certain issues in your life and you perhaps you've moved on. I felt like I moved on. But I did not know there was a root there somewhere. That it was undealt with. And I'm preparing my message, and all of a sudden the name of that person pops up. Has that ever happened to any of us here? When all of a sudden it's like, ooh, I remember that person. What happened there? Then you start going back in your memory and start piecing the story together. Oh. And then you do this. And that's exactly what that was me. Even as a pastor, I'm like, wow, I didn't realize I was there. So the very first thing that I did is pick up the phone and call that person that I haven't talked to for years. But when I made that phone call, it was freedom for me. It was freedom for me. I was set free. I was set free. I can't even remember what I did that was wrong. It was stuff that has happened in my family that was generation prior to me. I was just a son that came in that took somebody else's offense and made it my own. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Where you've got offended not because somebody said something directly to you. You picked up somebody else's offense and you made it yours. That was me. Until the Holy Spirit zoned in on me and say, there was like a spotlight right on this situation. I was like, ouch, that don't feel right at all, Lord. You know what he said? Deal with it. Deal with it. Pick up the phone and I dealt with it. And I'm so glad I did, because that person that I... There was a process of reconciliation. I'm not saying that if somebody hurt you all of a sudden, you need to be best buddies with that person. That's not really what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about getting yourself free from that, from those chains of unforgiveness. That person that I reached out and I forgave, and you know, we went on, we talked, we cried, and it was a beautiful thing. That person two or three weeks ago, just passed. I had no idea that I was doing something to bring restoration, to point that person who died 3 weeks ago to Jesus. Because you know why? It gave me an opportunity to share this, the love of God, the love of God that compels me to forgive. Amen. That person is like,
oh, we haven't heard from you. The other person was apologizing for stuff that I had no idea.
I was being set free, and so was he. So I'm going to challenge you right now. I even got to the bottom of my message, and I don't even know where we are. I'm going to challenge you today to do the same. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your heart, to your mind, to your spirit, a situation. A situation that perhaps it's gone uncovered for years. You've stopped paying attention and you've moved on. You've changed state, you've changed jobs, you've moved on with your life. But that situation is still there. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring it back so that you can be free. So that when that name or that person is ever mentioned, you won't go like this. Or when that person walks into a room, you won't be finding a way out. Because you're free. Would you do that? Would you do that? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's so powerful. That's so powerful right there that Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. It's time that we apply it to our life. It's time that we truly allow the Holy Spirit to do a work inside of us so that we can be free. Now, you might be here today, say, Pastor, and I would understand if you said that. You have no idea. You have no idea what this person did to me. You have no idea what this person did to my family. How can I forgive this person? How can I? You're right. You're right. I have no idea. I don't know. But Jesus does. He knows what you've been through. He knows the pain that you've been through. And he knew that forgiveness would be hard for many of us. He knew that we will struggle with forgiveness. He knew that. Do you remember that statement that I made in the beginning? Forgiveness is a skill that we are not naturally born with. We're not naturally born with that skill. The skill of true forgiveness comes when we are born again. It doesn't come naturally when we are born. But when we are born again with the Spirit of God, that's where the help comes from, to forgive. Because all of us here, we need help in that area. It's not a three-step program. I say, okay, step number one, number two, number three, work through this step and you will learn how to forgive somebody. I wish it was that easy. I wish it was that easy. I say, read this scripture, and you're good to go. It's not that easy. It's not that easy to forgive. That's why Jesus devoted a big part of his ministry teaching you and me about forgiveness.
He demonstrated forgiveness all the way through, up to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. All the way to the cross, He demonstrated forgiveness. He didn't just talk about it and say, read this and you're good to go. He showed us how to do it. When He reached down and He picked up that woman that was caught in adultery. When He rerouted his journey and met that Samaritan woman by the well. When He reached down by the pool of Bethesda and picked up that lame man that was there by the pool for so many years. He demonstrated forgiveness to everyone, including His own disciples, each and every time when He calls somebody to Him. The skill of forgiveness is not something that we are born with naturally. You must be born again. Once you're born again, the Spirit of God that lives inside of you will give you supernatural help so that you can forgive. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus is addressing His disciples. He said, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. So this helper, the Holy Spirit, is there to abide in you and me forever when we are born again. When we are born in the Spirit. Only with the help of the Holy Spirit can we confront the hurt. Because the hurt by itself, if you leave it there unchecked, it's not going to go away. It's not going to disappear until you make time to deal with it, to confront it. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. Only with the help of the Holy Spirit can we truly turn that hurt over to God and let God deal with some of the pain that is too much for us to even handle. Some of us have gone through stuff in life that is too hard and too traumatic to even describe and put in words. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can turn it over to God. You can turn it over to Him. And let Him bring healing in those places that are perhaps hidden from everybody else, but you know what pain you're in. It's only with the help of the Holy Spirit can you do it. Can you truly turn that hurt over to Him? Only with the help of the Holy Spirit can you truly release the person. That's where your freedom is when the Holy Spirit comes in and allows you to release that person so that you can be free. Freedom comes when the Holy Spirit steps in and you allow Him to take control, to take over. Would you please stand? Now I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you, not me. I want the Holy Spirit to to talk to you directly. I want you to hear his voice. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking right now. He's speaking to your heart. He's perhaps bringing a picture, a memory. Even if it is painful. Even if it is painful. Don't switch it off. Because you've done this for many, many years. Hasn't been properly dealt with. The pain is still there. Because you've been hurt. And that part of you, you've switched that off. God wants you to be free in that area today. God wants you to turn that over to Him. And let that healing and restoration happen now. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. There's no magical words. There's no magical formula. The Holy Spirit can come in and set you free right now. Right here. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering. For ministering to hearts and soul right now. That people are being set free. Pain and hurt are being dealt with right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. If any of you need prayer for anything as we conclude our service, we're going to be right here praying for you. If you would just come and we'll pray and we'll come in agreement with you. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that we're going to walk out of this place. And we're going to leave here at the altar. All this past pain and hurt and things that we don't even understand that doesn't make sense to us, Lord God. And we are choosing to lay them right here. Right there by your feet. And we are walking out of this place. Totally free. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your faithfulness. And God bless you. And we'll see you again. I'll see you on Wednesday in Life in the Word.